So we've been thinking about dedication. I'm not going to be speaking for a long time, by the way, just to reassure you. The brief is to keep it short, so it won't be more than the hour. Don't worry. That's fine. Sheila just passed out there in the front row there. So we've been thinking about dedication, and a lot's been said about dedication already. So just to quickly sum it up. Dedication, today these fantastic parents have been expressing desire and intent on their part. They've been expressing a desire that their fabulous sons will choose to take the same path that they themselves have taken in following Jesus. And it's following Jesus that I just want to spend literally a few minutes in all seriousness thinking about this afternoon. Last week, Dave Jones, who was mentioned earlier on, leads this church congregation, spoke, and he spoke about following Jesus. He spoke about this word, which is kind of on the side there on the slide, disciple. And as he pointed out, that the word disciple, it's not a word we use that much in the English language today. Occasionally you hear it, and it can mean any of those things there, really. But that word disciple is actually the normal word in the New Testament for someone following Jesus. The word Christian is used, but the word disciple is used far, 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 far more by a factor of more than 100. So let's just quickly have a look in just one section right at the beginning of one of the Gospels, the Gospel of Mark in chapter 1, what it meant, at least to begin with, to be a disciple of Jesus. And I'm going to start reading from Mark chapter 1 and verse 14. If you've got a Bible, you might want to follow it. If you haven't, that's absolutely fine. Look at your iPhone. You can do Facebook at this point. People will think you're reading the Bible. It's fine. So Mark 1 and starting in verse 14. Now, after John was put in prison, John was Jesus' cousin. After John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel. There's another of those words that isn't in the kind of normal English language day to day, but it literally just means good news. Jesus came preaching the good news of the kingdom of God, saying, the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent, and that's another one of those words, just means turn around, face the other way, do something different, do the opposite. Repent and believe in this good news. And as he, that's Jesus, walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Makes sense, doesn't it? Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. And they immediately left their nets and followed him. And then it goes on to say that he went on to meet James and John, who are also fishermen, and the same thing happens. Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. Follow me. So let's just spend a few minutes thinking about that, and we'll break it down into three brief sections. First of all, follow me. And if you think about it, if you just, you know, that passage is familiar to some of us, probably many of us will have heard that at some point. And it's easy because it's in the Bible and you think, yeah, that's Jesus and the disciples and he calling the disciples. But, and you just kind of, it goes over our heads after a while, it washes over us. But isn't it absolutely amazing what happened then? There's these guys, they're kind of doing something with their nets and they're all ready to go back out probably later that day. Jesus walks by. Follow me. And they do. What was it about Jesus? Had they heard about him at that point? Did they know that much more about, you know, we kind of can piece some of it together, but some of it's a little bit of a mystery that they would stop what they were doing and follow this guy. And it wasn't just a metaphor. You know, nowadays we say, I'm a follower of so-and-so, I'm a follower of Jesus. And it's a bit of a metaphor, isn't it? And we're going to think more about what it means. But this was literally what they did. They put everything down and they literally followed him. And that took them eventually through an awful lot of stuff. But here's the thing. Some leaders today, to their followers, actually their followers aren't really followers. They just tell them where to go. They send them off to do things. Leaders sit back, and the followers, so-called, are they the ones that are supposed to go off and do things. But it wasn't like that when Jesus called these guys, Andrew, Peter, James, John. He said, follow me, and that's literally what he meant. Come where I'm already going. I'm going to go ahead of you. I'm going to go make the way first. They went through an awful lot as the years unrolled, but at that point, he was simply saying, follow me, take the first step. And that's my first point, really. That's all Jesus ever asked us to do now. Whether we've been following Jesus, to use that phrase, for tens of years, a few months, maybe not at all at this point, all he's ever asking us is, take that first step, take that next step. Follow me. Jesus is going ahead. We can trust him. We might not see what lies down the line, but perhaps we can just take that first step or that next step. And I think often when we get hung up and stressed and worried and all that stuff that happens to all of us, it's often because we're kind of projecting way, way down the line. What if this happens? What if that happens? When we lie in bed at night and can't sleep, usually the stuff that's going around our head is what if, isn't it? Is that right? It's just true for me. It's the kind of what if. What if this happens? What if that happens? You know, this is a great and happy occasion and babies being dedicated and celebration. But, you know, there's nothing like occasions like this to also make, I don't know if this is true, don't want to put this on you if it's not true for you already, but it's nothing like this to kind of make you suddenly realize your responsibility as parents as well. You know, oh my goodness me. What if this? What if that? Well, Jesus simply says, follow me. And I just sensed as I was coming into this afternoon, there would be people here this afternoon, and maybe there is stuff that we're worried about. Things we're kind of saying, what if this, what if that? Jesus simply says, follow me. Walk in my footsteps. Walk in my footsteps. You know that great thing you can do with your kids when they're small? Mine are 31 and 29 now, so I don't try it. But, you know, when you put them on your feet and you do that walkie thing, yeah. It's like that with us and Jesus. We can literally walk in his footsteps. Follow me. Trust me. And yes, it was a big deal. There was risk involved. But I think all of us probably realize that nothing really happens in life without a degree of risk, does it? And sometimes the greatest things require us to take the step which has got some risk in, but actually this Jesus can be trusted. So follow me, and secondly, I will make you become. Now this is where the English language kind of can get in our way, because that can sound very coercive and dogmatic and dictatorial. I will make you. But it's not meaning that. It's an offer from Jesus. He's literally literally that word means, and I kind of looked it up, it means to make something out of a thing. To make something out of a thing. Jesus is saying, I will make something out of you. Jesus is offering to take what they are and to make it into something. And isn't that the desire of all of our hearts? That we would be something? I don't mean puffed up and proud, but just that in some way our lives would count. And that's the offer that Jesus is making to them. Come, follow me, I will make you become. This isn't the demand of someone putting pressure on them to conform to something, and by your own efforts you've got to succeed. It's an offer to take them to a new place, a better place. Jesus is saying, I will take the burden of that. I will cause you to become. And of course, he's still saying that today. He says, follow me. And there's a promise with it. If you follow me, I will make something of you. We take a step, but it's Jesus that gives that real weight and significance. And you know, all right, there is a giving of ourselves in that, but we can never outgive God. So again, if perhaps there's things we're facing and we're thinking, can I take that step? Can I pay that cost? Can I? Wherever we're at in our lives, Jesus has a promise that says, I can make something of this. I can make something of you. You know, a little boy, another part of the Bible, the Gospels, a little boy brings just 5 loaves and 2 fish, and everyone thinks that's ridiculous. You can't make anything out of that. And Jesus makes enough to feed 5,000 men plus women plus children and have lots left over. What can you make of what we bring? Follow me. First step of discipleship. I will make you become. Discipleship is about being changed. Changed in a good way. And finally, what is it that he offers them? What is it that they can become? What is it that we can become? Well, specifically for them, he says, look, you're fishermen. I'm going to make you fishers of men. Which, again, it's become a bit of a phrase, certainly in church circles, but I think Jesus made it up. You know, I don't think it happened before. It means for them to become the ultimate fulfillment of what they already are. They are literally fishermen. That is what they are. That's their identity. And Jesus says, I'm going to take what you are. I'm going to take your identity. I'm going to take all that's familiar to you, and I'm going to make it so much better. I'm going to make it the ultimate fulfillment of your heart's desire, hence the heart. I will take your heart's desire and fulfill it in a way you couldn't have dreamed of. And that's, again, the promise that Jesus makes to us today, isn't it? Wherever we're at with him, he will take what we bring, he will take what we are, and he does remold it, but ultimately it's to make it the best that we could ever think of, the ultimate fulfillment of our hearts. So no wonder that these guys want that for their sons. No wonder that's what we want for our children. These parents are saying today, it's our desire today. We're making a statement that one day our son will know the amazing truth of Jesus making them the best possible version of themselves that there could ever be. We've experienced some of that. We're on a journey with that, and that's what we want for them as well. We can't do it for them. Only they can make that step later in life. No one else can do it for any one of us. Only we can do that. So it's follow me. It's follow Jesus. Just take that next step. You might not know where it's heading exactly, but Jesus is someone we can trust. Let's not project too far down the line. Let's just take that first step. It's a promise that in our discipleship, Jesus has taken responsibility to change us. And he's changing us into the best version, the best we could ever dream or imagine and fulfill our heart's desire. Let's just pray for a moment, shall we? Father, wherever we are in being a disciple, whether it feels like we're a long way down the track or in the starting blocks or maybe not even sure what we want to do about it, Father, I just want to pray that we would hear your voice this afternoon, that we would know we can follow you, that we can take whatever that next step is, and that you will take what we bring, accept it and change it in an amazing way, that you would meet our heart's desires. And you would show us your heart for us, your desires for us. In Jesus' name, amen.